Hello and welcome.
Hi.
8123 podcast Warp Tour number 2. You know, but we've done a bunch more than that, but we've done
have.
2 while on Warp Tour.
Yes. Wait, or have we done 3?
No.
Well, we did one when we were home.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And we were on Warp Tour.
All right.
3?
Three.
Pat, get it right.
We've been on a nostalgia kick lately, which is kind of something that I didn't think would happen. For a while there, I felt like we were afraid of looking backwards at all.
Yeah. Well, because as soon as you do, you can... I don't know. Some people can feel like maybe that's all you're going to do after that.
Yeah.
And... that's not the case for us. So no. I think even attempting to look behind has scared us or something. I don't know what exactly it is, but we're doing it right now.
We're doing it. So this week we have our friend Shervon on the podcast, who worked at Fearless Records and kind of was the reason that we got signed to the record label, which then led to us having a career in music. He has a lot to do for that, and I don't think he really ever got the credit that he deserved for what he did for us. So, we decided to bring him on, and he's remained a close friend for all these years. So,
I don't think he does interviews.
No.
So, and yeah, I think you'll be able to tell.
It's his first time doing a podcast. So
we
convinced him. We can convince him to do it.
So
we surprised him.
We did. We did both things.
Like, hey, do you want to do a podcast in 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, sure. So
yeah, but you could definitely feel the feeling of not really doing an interview before. But we open up a lot, and we kind of tell stories in that time period, 08, and it was fun to look back, like Pat said, nostalgia for the first time maybe ever.
So yeah, it was a great chat, and yeah, you'll kind of get some backstory on the very very early days of us getting signed, and be able to hear it from the person that was responsible for it, and you know, we're very thankful for the opportunity that we've had since then, and you know, to be able to keep relationships this long is something that I don't think happens very often. And you know, we were even talking to him about, like, you know, other bands that he has signed and worked with that, like, they, like, won't even, like, look at him anymore. Because it's like, hey, you don't work at the record label anymore. I don't want to be, you know, like, what are you going to do for me? Why am I going to talk to you? And,
yeah.
You know, that just hasn't been the case with us and him, or with us and anybody for that matter. So, feels good. And yeah, man.
And we bring it full circle. If you guys listen to the Ryan Osterman interview, and we talk about Mr. Penguin, didn't we? Right?
Yeah.
We talked about that, and then we bring it back in this, if I remember correctly, because that was his house that we stayed at, and so you get two sides of that story, which is fun. And also, Pat bought Converse today.
I did. I bought two pairs of Converse. I got one black pair, and then I got like this kind of brown gold.
Yellow. He's getting out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
I told him that he should buy some
fashion,
some funky colored shoes a while ago, and he's like, oh no. And then he did it, or he said he did it, and I think they were black with like a little yellow or something. I don't know. These are gold.
Yeah.
You got some gold shoes, Pat.
Gold shoes.
But then he said at dinner tonight that he wasn't going to wear them. So. We'll see. So if you see him rocking his gold Converse, let him know he looks nice.
Well, cool. Hope everyone is doing well. And we will be back very soon with another Warp Tour edition of the podcast.
Yeah, later.
Were you hanging out with Mayday? Or were you?
Yeah, just hanging out over there with them.
When's the last time you've seen them?
I don't know. I think it's been Maybe 4 or 5 years, to be honest.
Oh, God.
What?
It's wet.
Oh, God.
Three or four years?
Seen them?
Yeah, maybe more. I mean, I've lived out here for 2 years, so I don't think I'd seen them for a year or two before that, so it's been a while.
Crazy. So it is the 10-year anniversary of Can't Stop Won't Stop. How does that make you feel?
Old.
Yeah.
And proud of you guys. The fact that you guys have been doing this for 10 years and are still doing incredible just makes me so happy and proud to have been able to watch you guys grow over the years and continue to do this.
Yeah. Well, do you know the full story of like how Bob heard about us and stuff when we got signed? Like,
all I know is that you hit up either us or Tim on MySpace. I think. I don't... This is what's so fun about this. Is I don't really know. Yeah. And I mean, you're the one that found us. You are the guy. You are the spark.
What's the true story? What's the true story?
What the fuck happened?
Well, it's been over 10 years, so...
I mean, you have to remember.
Yeah. I think at the time, I was helping a friend's band, and I would look for other bands in different cities to see if we could help trade each shows.
What was that band? Because I
want to say it might have been Panama.
Panama. What were they called?
Panama.
There wasn't like a name after it.
No.
Yeah, because you used to come to town a lot, and we'd like, I like met you at In-N-Out. I met you at some venue downtown.
Yeah.
When you were on tour with them.
Yeah. So I think so I would just browse MySpace for that. And meanwhile, I was also I was interning at Fearless. So I would browse MySpace looking for bands to potentially help my friends' bands trade shows with. Hey, you guys get us a show out in AZ, we'll get you guys a show out in California. And I stumbled across you guys. And I was at a show at the House of Blues with the Fearless guys. And I was nervous talking to Bob, the owner of Fearless. I was just this 18, 19-year-old intern at the time. So my words that I spoke to him were very selective. I was very, intimidated of him at the time. And he said that he was going to be looking for a new A&R guy. And I didn't want to be like, oh, dream job. But he did tell him, I don't know anyone. I'll keep my ears peeled. But there's this band called The Main. And if you don't sign them, Fueled by Ramen's going to sign them. And they're going to be huge. And maybe those words, made him check you guys out.
Yeah.
I don't know that he had a ton of trust in me. Yeah. But he ended up checking you guys out. And I saw him a couple days later in the office. And he's like, hey, yeah, I hit up that band's manager. I'm trying to get them to come out here and play a show with me. And I think after that, you and I started talking.
Yeah.
And, developed a relationship from there.
Yeah, we started talking on AIM, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
What was your screen name? It was like...
I had a few of them.
Was yours still PK?
TBS, yeah. Oh,
I had one that was an homage to Scottie Pippen.
No, it was like... I can't remember.
Did you just hit Pat up and be like, hey, like, I heard about your band.
Yeah,
I never heard this part of it.
I think you hit me up after Tim had been talking to Bob.
Okay.
So like I like knew that it was real.
Yeah.
I knew you were a guy that was with Fearless
Well, you can finish your part, but I remember being in high school and sitting in my computer class and being 17 years old and like Pat hitting me up between classes and be like, hey, there's this other label that is like into us, and like just sitting there. And like, I remember I wrote out a list one day and I had like all of the labels, and I was just like, I just wrote like the top bands on it for some reason. I didn't know what to do, but I was just like, oh my God. And I just remember thinking, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was 17. You were 17, yeah. And like you're like figuring out like record deals.
Yeah.
So you just told them to check us out on our MySpace, I guess? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess at the time, I guess we would have just had, like, a couple songs out. You know, I guess it would have been DayZ and then Townsman Talking and maybe Countin' 1-2-3 might have been out by then. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
That's crazy. And then did you come to the show when we went out to LA to play?
Yeah. Well, you guys stayed with me that night, I believe.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We talked to Ryan about this recently.
Okay.
About Mr. Penguin. Oh, really? So people who've listened to the podcast will we don't have to retell that story. If you don't know what we're talking about, go listen to Ryan.
You were smoking hookah.
Yeah.
In the garage.
So, yeah. So then, like, this whole process kind of went on, and we signed, and like, were you? You were still an intern the whole time that we were making the album and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what it was like at the label at that time? Like, did it seem like people were excited about what we were doing, or did it feel like we were just like another band? And like, I don't know, like, what it would have been like at the label around that time, because I know there was. At a certain point, there was a little bit of, like, a love-hate thing, because, like, we were doing well, but then we were also kind of difficult to work with, because, like, we had our opinion on stuff, I think, a lot more than most other bands.
Well, and I think that actually helped a lot. You know, it's tough when you work with bands who don't have a vision, don't really know what they want. You know, there was one band that I'd worked with at one point, and they said, "Oh, we want our logo to look harder." And it's like, well, how do you make a logo look hard? You know, whereas you guys gave a little more description than that, or you guys would even help find artists or whatever to come up with your logos and whatnot. So you guys always had a clear vision of what you wanted to do and how you wanted to be presented.
Yeah. Do you remember what, like, did it seem like Bob was excited? Yeah. Like, or did it feel like, oh, it's just like another
rep? No, you guys were growing so fast that you could just like feel the momentum and the excitement in the office.
It was kind of crazy, like how, like once it started going, it was like,
you know, and at that point it was just like watching the MySpace plays go up like crazy on a daily basis. And yeah, so there was definitely a lot of excitement. I don't think anyone was pulling their hairs out.
Well, and we talked about it, I don't know when we talked about it last, but like how, or when we were talking about the Way We Talk EP, it was like, we kind of just shit that out. Like, it was just like not like a real thought, because we were already planning on making the album. And it was like, I mean, I think at that point we already signed, and it was like, hey, you're doing a record in January, just make these couple songs in October. And then go make a record. So I think everyone was kind of, the label and us were just ready to do that. And it was like, here's this thing to like kind of hold it off.
Yeah, hold people over.
Do you remember that at all?
You know,
I'm sure it felt like that.
I hardly remember the EP, to be honest. You know,
I mean, I think the whole time the hype was just like, getting in and doing the first album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys. Signing was very exciting, and then you guys getting on that big tour and having your album come out and all that was really exciting. I hardly remember the EP, to be honest.
Yeah, same. Because like we didn't like focus on it for very long at all. We just like moved on to the record, and yeah, I mean that. Like. When we made the record, like, did you come to the studio at all when we were recording? I don't think you did. But like we were talking a lot.
Yeah,
It's kind of weird that you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Come by.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the first thing you heard from it? What, like, or if you did, maybe you just heard the whole record. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I just heard the whole record whenever Fearless got it in. I mean, I was still an intern at that time, so I wasn't given the album or anything like that.
You didn't have any access.
Which is fucking crazy.
Because you're the
one that signed us basically or whatever.
Yeah.
You were literally the reason, yeah. And it was like, that's fucking weird.
Well, it ended up getting me my job there, so it did work out for me.
Yeah. Did you, so how long after the album came out were you working? Did you actually get hired?
So I think I went on to do a little bit more touring with Panama, and then I came back and was offered a position there. Maybe about a year after you guys initially signed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because, like, by then, I mean, after the album had been out a year, it's like things were moving so fast. I mean, we would have been, like...
I think you guys were already talking to Warner, and, you know, that whole thing was going on by that point.
Yeah, I mean, we would have already had, like, the crazy stuff, like the MTV and AP covers and all that stuff would have already, already happened. For as much as we hate record labels and stuff, like that first year of being on Fearless, you guys really did a lot.
Yeah.
For us, you know, like people were pulling strings to like
the one year I wasn't there, they did a lot.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that was such a cool time.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that really happens as much anymore. Like, where it's just like, I was just like, everybody like felt excited. Like every time we played a show, it was like the whole label was there.
And yeah. Then, yeah.
Like pretty soon it was like, now nobody comes to watch us anymore. And like, turned quick. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's completely our fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying. Is there anything that you remember, like, during that album cycle? Like, the coolest things that you remember, like, seeing happen to us? Like,
yeah, I don't know that there was one particular cool thing. I think, you know, a lot of it was just watching you guys grow from that first show in Fullerton where there were five or six people there. And, you know, you guys clearly hadn't played very many shows together yet. And then to seeing you guys completely transform a couple months later when you were out with Boys Like Girls and, you know, you were a full-blown band and totally ready to handle, you know, all the audiences you were going to play in front of.
Yeah, that first show, I mean, that was... Jared wasn't in the band.
Yeah.
And then we also did a show at a coffee shop, right, that, like, you would book for us?
Yeah, you set that up.
There was, like, open mic night there that usually was a lot more popular than it was the night that you guys, that we went, and I don't think anyone was really there. I don't remember.
No, I...
Alex in the band?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been just straight-up original lineup, and we were staying at your house, and you're like... Hey, well, this show got canceled, but there's a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And you're like, and we're just kind of like, oh, okay, let's go play at the coffee shop.
You guys were always willing to do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. That was, yeah.
The next time we came, we just slept in the Target parking or Walmart parking lot for like 6 days, hoping that the tour would keep going. Yeah. We're like, oh, we have all these shows booked, and they keep getting canceled. But we'll stay out here. And we would, like, barbecue in the Walmart parking lot and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, that was insane. It really felt like... I mean, that first, like, early stage when, like, we were staying at your house often and everything, like, that was, like... our time of like being a local band, like, or like figuring out. That was like, then after that it was like we didn't do that ever again. It was like, so like we were doing anything possible, we were playing any show possible, I'm sure when we were at your house we went to the mall and handed out you know, like flyers and burnt CDs, and like people at the mall would just be like interested in what, like,
no, but I've heard since. I mean, we've gained like probably one fan a day from that. Like, people still bring it up every once in a while. I was like, oh, I met you at the mall and you brought me this, and they'll like have the CD. Yeah. It's crazy.
I remember you guys used to always, your diet consisted of canned fruit too, back in the early days.
That's all we'd eat.
Yeah.
That's funny. Do you feel like, for like people that are trying to, you know, I'm there's a large percentage, I think, of people that would like listen to this that want to work in the music industry in some degree, and like you going from just an 18-year-old kid who got an internship to then like signing Breathe Carolina and having a hit, having a gold record and doing all the things that you did. Like, what do you think took you from being just the 18-year-old kid with the internship to that? Like, what would you recommend to people to do? Because I know that you didn't feel like you just felt like a fan. I mean, like me and you would sit and we would talk on the phone for an hour a night just mm-hmm. about what different bands were doing and comparing what we could do that they were doing and what we should do better or different or like. Because to me, I feel like those types of conversations, which I used to have and still do with tons of people, really kind of define what I do with mm-hmm. the band. You know, it's like you're just analyzing it. You're like thinking about it and you're like looking at the patterns and like why they play certain venues and why they, you know,
mm-hmm.
What do you think like made you actually like figure it out and make it happen as opposed to just being like the 10 other interns that were there at the same time as you that then didn't go on to do anything?
I'd say a lot of it was just the love and the passion I had for it, the excitement I had for it, and you know, really just being in it too for all the rightest reasons. Like, I never wanted anything more than to just watch all the bands I worked with just grow and have great careers. Like, that was always the best part of it for me, and just watching bigger and bigger show crowds come out to the shows. So yeah, you know, I maybe some a lot of it was just right place, right time, finding you guys, and then you know, pointing Bob to you guys, and then pointing Bob to Artist versus Poet later on. You know, I'm sure he just really appreciated that. I don't know that I necessarily did anything else super great at the label.
I mean, you clearly had an ear for things, and I mean, you said it with love and respect for the music.
Yeah.
But you also have something. I mean, we've been around a ton of people, and it's not the same that mm-hmm. you are. Like, you definitely, like, you have something else.
I mean, I think it's, like, probably being able to pick up on the pattern of, like, seeing something bubbling up in the early stages and seeing like, oh, these guys have the thing to take it to the next level. You know, like when you were started working with Breathe Carolina, I mean, they were not very big at all.
Yeah.
And then to go from like, they had that ride when you made that the record with them, and they were, I mean, I remember we played a festival with them and they were getting ready to hop on a private jet to then go do some other radio show and
both, playing,
you know,
Pitbull.
It's like crazy stuff. Yeah, so I mean, I guess your ear for being or in your vision to be able to see where something could go, I guess.
Yeah, cause I think ear is different than vision. Yeah. Because you have vision.
Yeah.
You have vision.
Yeah.
Anyone can have an ear of what's good or not, or like what can connect to something. But it's like to see it further down the line is a completely different thing. And I mean, that's why I think you guys connected so well and like can talk
these long conversations.
We would literally like, I don't know what we'd talk about. We would pick out, we'd be talking about A Change of Pace or Greeley Estates or any of these bands, and we'd be like thinking about, oh, like what are they doing that's like really working, and like, oh, like they're doing like this amount of tickets in this city, like I wonder why.
Yeah.
Or how.
Or this amount of MySpace plays, or
yeah,
you know, whatever else. Yeah, that's fair to say that, you know, I just always try to vision and really see what consumers or fans really wanted and what was working for them and wasn't working for them.
Yeah, yeah, it's a crazy thing.
Kept my ear low to the ground for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you for making this all possible. Thanks for someone sent you our link, right, or no?
I think initially it was Tim Towner's blog.
Oh, okay.
Tim Towner, thank you, my man.
Well, thanks for making it all possible. It's crazy that Can't Stop is 10 years old. It's insane.
This is literally the guy who made it happen right here.
So. No, it was all you guys and Tim and your work ethics and vision and staying true to yourselves and making great albums one after another, rather than just making, you know, Can't Stop, Won't Stop over and over again. You guys have continued to grow with your fans and adapted.
We have certainly not made Can't Stop, Won't Stop. That's the second time, I don't think.
So
I don't think we could.
One of the few bands that, you know, has appropriately grown with their fans and continue to just make great music that they love and their fans love.
It's awkward to age as a band, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, it's one of the hardest things to do, I think. Like, once you get somewhere to, like, continue to do it and, like, know what kind of record to make that you're going to be happy with playing and not, you know, there's just some music just doesn't look good on a 30-year-old that when it looks good on an 18-year-old, you know? And
this tour definitely shows it.
So it's like, fuck, man. Well, thank you. And, thank all you guys for continuing to listen. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I remember exactly where we were on July 8th, 2008. Yeah. Like, I remember everything about that day. We're in Chicago. It was the first day of that Boys Like Girls tour.
It's one of those moments in your life that are, like, stamped as, like, you go back to, and it's like, oh, everything changed after that. And not just like just because the record came out or whatever, like meeting people and just the way our band worked and the record coming, like everything just went from there and left a stamp.
It's like, it has to be one of the most exciting times of my life. I mean,
yeah,
it's like, dude, it felt so cool. Like, hey, we finally made a record.
Yeah.
We did it. And I didn't think we'd be here in 10 years later. I mean, 100,
a lot of your peers at the time aren't here. So
yeah.
You guys have done something right.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you guys for staying true to yourselves and always being great friends. And here we still are 10 years later hanging out.
There you go, baby.
And rest in peace, Uncle Penguin.
Or wait, was it Captain Penguin.
Captain Penguin. That's fucked up. All right.